What a blessed time we had in worship already this morning. Wasn't it just great to see the victory of where we are in Christ? And I am believing that we're going to grasp that even more through the message this morning. Okay, church. Well, it's November already, in case you didn't know. Isn't that incredible? Where's the year gone? Apparently it's 48 days till Christmas. If you didn't know that, 48 days, yes, that's right. One of the few things Pastor Judith and I tend to agree on each year is when to put the Christmas tree up. One of the few things, we disagree on very little, but the Christmas tree can be a small bone of contention between us, because I like to have it up for weeks on end. I like to stretch it out as long as possible. And Pastor Judith would have it up 1 week and down the next, kind of thing. But anyway, she's always moving forward, praise God, and we need her to be, but I just like to camp around Christmas a bit. She actually said to me this year, well, do you know what, it's not an issue of doctrine, it can go up on the 4th. So praise God, we get to enjoy it for at least 3 weeks, which is fantastic. Anyways, the point of saying all that is because as I was sort of praying and thinking about the message this morning, I was thinking about the word, God's word to us this year in 2016, and if we could have it up on the screen, I'm sure it's embedded in your memory, but it's from Romans 5, verse 17. Those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. And actually, if I really think about it, I think all the messages really that we've had this year could be summed up by that one scripture. Through the gift of righteousness and grace given to us, we can reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. And really, the only way to reign in life, to prevail, to get over and rule over, is through Jesus. His word and his spirit lifting us up and over. Just say up and over. In the course of a year, there are a lot of things, aren't there, that we need to go up and over. Health challenges, financial challenges, relational challenges, all sorts of challenges. We need to go up and over. And actually, there is salvation in no other name, the Bible says, but the name of Jesus. He's the one, through his word and his spirit. Actually believing that, that gets us up and over. And without the word, you know very well, you're on sinking sand. Who's experienced the sinking sand times in life? They're not nice, are they? And you kind of wonder where God is, and God hasn't moved. His spirit is still in you, but you've kind of drawn away in your heart. You've stopped believing. You've started to put your faith in your own good ideas and your own resources. And as the scripture says, it's sinking sand. The ground sort of starts to shift underneath your feet. Everything feels shaky. And you start to believe the bad reports. And you start to believe the negative symptoms. And you actually start to believe the devil's lies, don't you? When the word's not lifted up and strong in your thinking and strong in your heart, you start to believe the enemy's threats and his lies. But we're not like that, Kingdom Faith Southwest, are we? We don't sink or shrink back. We're like those described in Hebrews. I'm going to read a scripture to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39 says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. The New King James version of that actually says, those who believe to the saving of the soul. When we believe the word, it saves our soul, saves your mind, saves your will from warring and going off in the wrong direction, and saves your emotions, actually. The devil works to intimidate us through lies and intimidation. He is all the time really working to get us to shrink back. When we see a hurdle, we shrink back. But if we will stand with the promise of God, believe it and speak it, the Lord intervenes. And the Lord saves. That's my testimony over and over and over again. As I've stood with the promise of God, sometimes in the face of what looks like a tsunami wave, and don't shrink back, somehow God comes through. He is faithful. And really, over the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking a lot about John 10:10. Most of us here will know that scripture. We'll read it together. It says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come," Jesus said, "that they may have life and have it to the full." We know that. Most of us in this room could probably quote that scripture very easily without having to look at our Bibles. But that is the reality of the spirit world that we do live in. There are two kings and two kingdoms, two motives and two missions explained right there. In those few words, actually, is the explanation for all the good and all the bad in the world. And I know people have to take responsibility, of course they do, but behind people, the kind of source or inspiration and motivation is a spiritual source. Okay, it's either the Lord or it's the enemy. Behind all the good and the bad in the world, there's the reason. There's one who comes to give life in all its fullness. And then there's another one that Jesus described as a thief. They're actually complete opposites. These two kings, these two kingdoms, two motives, two missions, they are completely opposite. Not equal, but opposite. God is a God of love. Satan hates. God's kingdom is a kingdom of light. His is a kingdom of darkness. God is a God of truth, and he operates through lies. Interesting, isn't it? Absolutely opposite. And the longer you walk with the Lord, you should be more and more convinced of the goodness of God and the wickedness of the enemy. Ephesians tells us, doesn't it? You've been taken out of darkness. Darkness has been taken out of you. Have nothing to do now with that kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. So I'm just going to kind of, I believe, bring a bit more understanding and convincing of the reality of the spirit realm this morning. I know we all know it in theory, and some of us know it as more of a revelation, but I believe my kind of mandate from the Lord this morning is to bring understanding of the reality of the spirit world that we all live in. Whether we believe it or not, whether we're aware of it or not, we live in it. Okay? Now, we've been hearing a lot about the goodness of God. Praise God. We need to. We need to hear over and over again, God is good and wants to do us good. That needs to be such a strong conviction in our hearts that when difficult things come along, we never question the goodness of God. We never question the source. We know the source. It's the other king and the other kingdom. Okay? But Jesus warned us, okay, so that this revelation of the goodness of God is in us, needs to be in us strong. But Jesus warned us we need to live aware that we have an enemy. There is a thief. And he's out to harm us. And just as Jesus came to make our lives better, he's intent on making our lives worse. Because he hates God and he hates people. He's not kind. He's not compassionate at all. He is wicked through and through. And if we just look at that scripture again, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have you noticed how the majority of people believe in God? Even, you know, maybe in just a vague sense, they'll talk about God. There's a kind of consciousness of God. But they don't really believe in the devil. Have you noticed that? Interesting that, isn't it? In our culture, the devil's like a fictitious character with red horns and a red tail, isn't he? And the concept of wickedness and darkness is kind of a source of entertainment and fun. We just had Halloween this week, didn't we? And I have to say, I was absolutely alarmed. I was out walking my dog and just alarmed at the number of parents out with very young children dressed in Halloween costumes, playing trick or treat, knocking on doors, essentially begging for sweets from strangers. I mean, it's a nonsense, really, what they do. You know, the rest of the year, the teacher children don't talk to strangers, but on the 31st of October, we go knocking on door for sweets. Crazy, isn't it? Okay? But it kind of really bothered me, and I thought, the devil's done a brilliant PR job on himself. To make himself so appealing, so fun, so entertaining. And even the word wicked has been twisted to mean something great. You know, you'll hear young people and even not so young people say, oh, that's wicked. That's meaning that's amazing, that's cool. It's twisted on its head. It means the opposite of what it really means. But we shouldn't be surprised, because Scripture actually says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. He is the ultimate poisoned apple, appears good and attractive on the outside, but inside there is poison. And everything he tempts us with, in a sense, it's like that poisoned apple. It looks attractive. It looks tempting. It promises so much and yet delivers the very opposite of what we really want. And we need the Word and the Spirit, really, to give us discernment. Because we live in a spiritual world. And we need spiritual eyes and ears to be working. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says this. The whole world lies under the sway, power or influence of the wicked one. He's the god of this age and he blinds people. He's duped people into thinking he's this fictitious character, like a Hollywood villain, you know, with no bearing on real life. But we need to be aware he's as real as we are. He's as real as God is. He's as real as we are. He's a spirit being. He's the enemy of God, and he is our enemy. And he's working behind the scenes to kill, steal, and destroy. That is his motive. He's kind of committed to his mission, and he's at work. So what I want to do is unpack from Scripture a little bit of background of who he is and how he is, so that we all get a right biblical perspective. Is that all right? Okay. It's definite teach this morning, but gosh, we need it. We need to be informed. Because actually, faith comes from the knowledge of God's word. So, we're going to start. Let's go through. We've got four bullet points here. First of all, Satan is a created being. Unlike God, who has always been, Satan is a created being. He was created to be an archangel, actually, in the presence of God. His name was Lucifer. I'll put the references there for you to have a look at it later. An archangel is a high-ranking angel. That was his position in heaven. Scripture describes him, this spirit being, as being full of wisdom and beauty. It actually says he was covered in precious jewels, actually in his being a musical instrument. I found that fascinating. Apparently he was the worship leader in heaven. Just an aside. But iniquity was found in him, Scripture says. The sin of pride was found in him. Now, the sin of pride actually is the root of all sin, because the sin of pride is saying, I know better than God. That's the root of all sin. I know better than God. It was found in him, and he was thrown out of heaven. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning, because, of course, he was there. Fourth point, he has free will. Five times in Isaiah 14, he kind of declares his will and what he's going to do. I will. I will exalt my throne. I will exalt myself to be like the God Most High. And so he uses this free will to oppose God and oppose God's people. God's answer is, you will be brought down to the lowest depths of the pit. Makes your hair curl, this stuff. The devil is a real living spirit being, and he's active in the world to kill, steal, and destroy. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's actually looking for ways to gain the advantage over you and over me. Let me ask you this. Should we be afraid of him? No. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Okay? Second question, should we be aware of him? Absolutely. Absolutely we should. Think of it. Let me put it in kind of a natural setting. Do we take precautions over thieves, natural thieves? You know, here in Taunton there are natural thieves. Do you lock your car? Or did you leave it in the car park undone thinking, well, you know, it'll be all right. Hope for the best. Do we lock our homes? Of course we do. Because we don't want thieves to break in and steal our stuff, do we? Surely we should take care, even more care, to protect our hearts and minds from the thief entering to steal. Spirit being invisible, but very, very real and very active in this world to steal. Just say to the person next to you, that's a very good point. Okay, so we need to live conscious. We need to live alert that we have an enemy who's out to kill, steal, and destroy, and not forget the reality of the spirit realm. We don't fight against people, Scripture says. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We often attempt to think, well, people are the problem. You know, if only such and such had sorted themselves out and stopped doing X, Y, and Z. But actually, we need to know there's an enemy at work through people and behind people. And so we need to rule over him. Because we have authority. We're going to read a fantastic scripture together now from Luke chapter 10, verse 19. This is our authority. Jesus said, behold, take note, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Just say all the power of the enemy. Okay, so we have authority over some of the power of the enemy or all of the power of the enemy? All. God knows it. The devil knows it. We need to know it. We need to know that we have authority over him. But, and this is an important but, there's actually a condition to this authority working. And it's called submission. James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Again, that's another scripture we know and probably can quote. But submission, whilst it is a prayer, it can't remain just a prayer. Submission really is a lifestyle, a blessed and happy lifestyle. If you do life God's way, you have power to resist the enemy. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Bad stuff happens, let's face it, doesn't it? In the course of a year, we're in November already, I'm sure in the last 10 months, now into the 11th month, I'm sure in the last 10, you've had some things that have challenged you, hurt you possibly, opposed you in some way, because we live in a fallen world. And at times, we experience the fruit of other people's sin. We experience the fruit of their stupidity and their selfishness, and it's painful. It's one thing to experience the fruit of your own sin, isn't it? Your own stupidity and your own foolishness, but it's a whole other thing when you've got to deal with somebody else's. That's even more painful. And we're tested at those points. Okay. Something's happened to you, it wasn't fair, it wasn't right, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to handle it? I mean, look, let's be real. It happens, my gosh, at least a few times in a week, doesn't it? I'm not talking about a once a year occurrence, we could all kind of manage that, but and often you don't see it coming, do you? You know? And we have this choice then. Are we going to get offended and hurt? And if not, give the person a piece of our mind, certainly badmouth them to the other people we know. Or are we going to go to God and ask him to help us handle it right? I've learnt, and I'm still in the process, don't always get it right, but I have learnt, in those situations where I'm tempted to go off on one myself in the flesh, to pray. Jesus said, when you're tempted, pray. What I have discovered is it's very difficult, in fact, I'm going to say impossible, to pray and sin at the same time. Isn't it? Pray. When you're tempted, pray. Pray lest you enter into temptation. And I found that the Lord's Prayer is very helpful in those times. God, you're in heaven, first of all. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Deliver me from evil. Thank you, you've forgiven me. I forgive. Key thing to do. Sets us free. I forgive those who sin against me. And that's submission to God. That's doing life his way. And then we have power to resist the enemy who's working behind that person, and he will flee from us. The enemy can't touch us when we do life God's way. He's seeking to, okay, scripture says, to devour and entangle. But he actually can't entangle us. We remain untouchable if we do things God's way, okay? We stay free, and our submission releases the power of God to work in our circumstances. Look at Galatians 5, verse 1 with me. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. We've been hearing this morning about the liberty that Jesus bought for us on the cross. The veil has been torn in two. We now stand right before God, liberated from our sins. Stay free, scripture says. Don't get entangled again with a yoke of bondage. And there may be some of you here who need to disentangle. I kind of always want to close my eyes at this point. I'm not assuming anybody has got entangled again. But you may need to disentangle yourself through repentance and forgiveness so that you can stay free. Stand free. You know, Lord, sorry for my bad heart. Sorry for my bad mouth. I choose to forgive. Yes, it wasn't fair, and yes, it wasn't right, but I choose to forgive. I pray blessing upon that person or those people. Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And by his Spirit in us, we can. The merciful one lives in us. We need God to forgive us, so we need to forgive people. We need power to resist the enemy, and so we need to deal with people right. And when I say right, I mean God's way. Okay, so remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people, but the enemy works behind people. And we, if we are wise, need to go take the fight to where the fight is, as Pastor Judith says, win it in the spirit. And then you'll see evidence of that working out in the natural. The devil's a spirit being. He has ears. He can hear. Yes. Amen. He can hear the command of faith from believers. Amen. Submitted to God. And do you know what? He has to obey. He has to flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. We need to rule him, not tolerate him. I've written down here in my notes. So many of us kind of live with things. We tolerate things. You know, when it's not too bad, you can kind of tolerate it for quite a long time. It's just like, oh, this is just the way life is. You know, I just pray that the Lord will keep giving me strength. Well, no. Yeah, pray the Lord will give you strength, but use your authority. The Lord said something to me years ago, but reminded me of it recently. He said, don't wonder what the enemy's going to do. Tell him what he's going to do. Don't wonder what awful thing's going to happen next to you. What he's going to do next. You tell him what he's going to do. Give back. Get out and stay out in Jesus' name. Get out of my head. Get out of my home. Get off my stuff. Patrol your borders. Rule them in the name of Jesus, because he's a thief. John 1, Jesus said the thief comes over the wall. He doesn't come through the gate. Jesus does it right. He comes over the wall. He tries to get over our borders. We have borders in our lives, areas of responsibility, and our God-given sphere of influence, place where you have a right to rule, your home, your body, your head. Even in your office, your workplace, they're your boundaries. We need to rule them. No, get out in Jesus' name. No, no, no. I'm not having strife in my home in Jesus' name. I'm not having strife in my marriage, in my kids, in my workplace in Jesus' name. No. Okay? I really had a revelation this week how every good thing we're ever going to need has been paid for. It's been paid for by the blood of Jesus. It's all paid for. He's paid for it already. And if something's been paid for, it belongs to you. Okay? I want to kind of set this in a natural setting to try and get this revelation home. When you go to the supermarket and you fill up your trolley and you take it to the till and it beep, 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 goes through the till and you hand over your card normally. Not many of us operate with cash, do we, these days? And you hand over your card and it's like, are you kidding? How much? But you pay for what you buy and then you put it in your bags, don't you? If at that point, whilst your back was turned maybe for a second, somebody came along, swooped up your supermarket shopping and walked off with it, would you just let them go? Would you not be a little bit more assertive at that point and say, hang on a minute, that's my stuff. I've just paid for that. I spent 40 minutes picking it out. I've now paid for it. No, 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 no. You know, you kind of get a bit possessive. It's mine. It's paid for. Well, do you know what? There's a whole lot of things that Jesus died to give us. He paid for it. It's ours. It's paid for. How dare he? How dare he? That's mine. Give it back in Jesus. That's my health. You're not having my health in Jesus' name. It's paid for. Come on. My peace, my joy, my marriage, my kids, my finances. No, no, no. I resist you in the name of Jesus. Give them back and get out and stay out in Jesus' name. We need to stop being passive, don't we? Come on. Okay. Look. Don't let life happen to you. We should never, never, never fall into a victim mentality. It's not who we are. We're up and over in Christ. Ephesians 2, seated in heavenly places. We're not to be the victims. Deuteronomy 28, verse 13 says, be the head. One of the blessings of obedience, actually, is that we're the head and not the tail. Does the tail wag the dog or the dog wag the tail? Amen. Well, the right way around, the dog should wag the tail. Amen. Right? So, but my point in saying that is the enemy shouldn't dictate what happens in your life. We tell him what's going to happen, not the other way around. Don't tolerate his lies and his intimidation. You're going to lose that. You're going to be sick in that area, and that sickness is going to lead to that. You're going to fail in that area. Lies, threats, accusation. It's all he knows how to do. Give back, get out, and stay out. It's mine. It's paid for. You are not having it. I take that back in the name of Jesus. You know, we need to use the promises of God, and I'm going to come into that in a little while, but, you know, this submission to God gives us such confidence. I think it's Hebrews, isn't it? Do not cast away your confidence, because in it is great reward. Our submission for God, you know, when I live my life in submission to God, which I endeavor to do every day, we're not perfect. We all sin at times, but we need to be quick to repent. And when we do, it's like, I'm right with you, Jesus. You've forgiven my sin. I have authority now to resist the enemy in whatever way he's trying to attack. But we need to, we've got a slide that just says that. Basically, remember, submit to God, obey him, resist the devil, use your authority. But we need to pick up this weapon and learn how to use it confidently. Soldiers are trained in the natural to use their weapons. They have a confidence, don't they? They don't go out onto the battlefield hand-to-hand conflict, you know, the kind of on-the-ground troops, they won't, I'm sure, I hope, be allowed to go out on the ground to fight the enemy unless they've learned how to use their weapon and have a confidence in it. Jesus knew how to use the word skillfully. This was his weapon. This is our weapon. And we need to get skilled with it. And we need to have a confidence to use it. It is written. Every good thing in our lives depends on how well we handle this. Really. These are not just words. This is the reality. In this room, we hear a lot of teaching. Praise God from the Word of God. But gosh, it works out in life all the time. Because the spirit realm is real. God is true. The enemy's a liar. And we need to approach it with a whole, this, gosh, I really am in a battle. I really do need a weapon. Yes. It's not just words, it's reality. So we need to get skillful. It is written, by his stripes I am healed. It is written, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. It is written, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You might form your weapons, devil, but it's not going to prosper in Jesus' name. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I shall refute. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. We need to know our heritage. You know, we've been brought into God's family. So what's our heritage? What have we inherited? What can we lay claim to? There's an advert on TV at the moment, and I won't say what it is, but essentially it's encouraging you to go looking into your family tree, your natural history. I'm sure you've seen it. To basically try and explain why you are the way you are. That's what I think it's all about. You know, well, you know, I've never been good with money. I'm useless with money. And there it is right there. Great Uncle Albert was a chronic gambler, and I've inherited this kind of useless with money gene. So it's not really my fault. It's like a default thing. It's not really my fault. It's just in the genes. Well, do you know what? Praise God. We've been grafted into this family tree, cut off from the natural inheritance, grafted into this family tree. This right here is the record of our family history. You want to find out what you're going to inherit? Read this. You've got a new DNA. It's the same as Jesus. Isaiah 48:17, in relation to the money thing, says, I will teach your hands to profit. Yes. I will show you the way to go. If you're useless with money, get that scripture or whatever scripture the Lord gives you. Thank you, Lord. Naturally, you know, I might be this. Naturally, I might be that. This, I've been cut off from that. In Jesus' name, this is my inheritance. This is your promise. In Christ, we can lay claim to every good promise. Amazing, really, isn't it? It does us good when we believe it, doesn't it? It does you a whole lot of good when you actually believe this. Health is my inheritance. It's your inheritance. Mental health, emotional health, physical health. It's been paid for. That's our inheritance. Prosperity, material, relational, financial. God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that in all things, at all times, you will have a sufficiency. I love that word. What an amazing promise. You'll be sufficient in all things. Let me just take that promise for this week. Sufficient in all things. Whatever you feel insufficient for, incapable in doing, he fills in the gaps. I always thank the Lord, you know. We're all very well aware of our own weaknesses, aren't we? Because we live with ourselves, and the devil's always quick to remind us, well, you can't do that, you're rubbish at that. I don't know even why you'd attempt to do that. Sufficient in all things. Lord, you fill in my gaps. You make up for my deficiency, my weaknesses, my failings. You make me sufficient in all things, ready for anything. It's been paid for. It belongs to us. This good inheritance. Paid for. And we just need to believe it and speak it. Believe it and speak it. I'm going to finish by connecting two scriptures that, for me, have really been revelation this week. Isaiah 54, verse 17 says this. If we could skip back one. No, backwards. It's all right, you're going forwards. Yes. Okay. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. Now, I have to be honest, I often miss, when I think about that verse and I quote that verse, I often miss the last bit. I do the first bit, but not the last bit, the heritage bit, and their righteousness is from me. But actually, that's a really important bit. Their righteousness is from me. Why do we need to have faith in that? Because the Lord wants us to be confident. No weapon that rises up against me will prosper because God has made me righteous. Because of the blood of Jesus, I can stand confidently against the enemy. I can deal with him confidently because of my position in Christ. We've been made righteous. Our confidence doesn't come from what we have done, but from what he has done. Okay, so we can defeat the enemy because of our amazing position, because our righteousness is from God. Okay, we're in Christ and he's in us. Right, let me connect that then, just finally, to Revelation 12, verse 11, which says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." There's a common theme here. We address the enemy because of what Jesus has done. You know, we can deal with the enemy with confidence because of the blood of Jesus. Our position in Christ, our position in the Spirit. And so that way your words aren't empty or hollow, unbelieving. When you speak, it has a confidence and an authority and a boldness because we believe. We are where Jesus says we are, in him, seated above powers and principalities, with him. Okay? So we overcome him, faith in our position, and by the words we speak, by the word of their testimony, our faith and our words. We overcome the enemy by our faith and our words. Our faith and our words. Say it together. Our faith and our words. Okay? Our believing and our speaking. And then, look, tagged on at the end, that last bit there, "and they did not love their lives to the death." Interesting addition. That's a really important bit. Because really, that's the James 4:7 scripture again. It actually means, you know, Jesus said, you need to lose your life for my sake. If you'll lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. If you'll submit to me, I'll give you power over the enemy. It's all kind of saying the same thing, essentially, isn't it? I've given you this amazing position. If you believe it, if you submit to me, and you believe where I've placed you, you've got the power on earth that every woman, man, and child wants, doesn't know how to get. In a sense, they don't know they need it, but they certainly know they want to get over their problems. They want to stop being sick. They want to stop feeling rubbish and having these negative thoughts running around their head every day. Spirit being, two kings, two kingdoms, at work, two motives, two missions at work every day. Spirit beings. And we have authority in the Spirit that we need to jolly well start believing and stand and use. It is written. You give back, you get out, and you stay out. In Jesus' name. Let's stand. I'd like you to tell the person next to you something you found helpful in that message. Hopefully something to do with your authority over the enemy. Okay, right. So, are we all convinced that we're in a spiritual battle? Okay, good. We need to be. Because you know what? If you ignore it, it doesn't go away. If you ignore the enemy and are passive about the enemy, it doesn't stop him from being aggressive. Oh, no. You just end up being a casualty in this war. So we need to recognize he's real and stop just living natural. Don't just live in this realm. Be aware. There's a whole other realm that has a direct influence on this one. The Lord said to me when I was praying this week, or no, sorry, I said to the Lord, sometimes I get confused. Well, listen, when I pray, I often start off praying like this. Lord, thank you I can hear your voice, and thank you that you hear mine. It just gives me confidence. Amen. Okay? Anyway, it was me said to him. I said to him, Lord, I said this. Thank you. I feel quite Irish suddenly. To be sure. I said, Lord, thank you. You train my hands for war. From Psalm 18, you train my hands for war. What the Lord did for King David naturally, he does for us spiritually, so that we can win over the enemy. And I just want us to read some verses from Psalm 18, starting with verse 28, right? It says this, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Just stop there a second. Thank you. Right? When you don't know what's going on, but oh my goodness, everything just feels really confusing and I just feel terrible and I just want to go to bed and pull the duvet over my head. Lord, show me what's going on. I know it's not good, but I don't feel right. This is rubbish. My circumstances are awful. Enlighten my darkness. Okay, next bit. Thank you. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. Remember the challenges I talked about at the beginning? It's like hurdles. You start January the 1st, and if you could see it really, you'd want to stay in bed with your duvet over, naturally speaking. But then it's like, Lord, I'm more than an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. You've put this fight in me. I'm not just going to lie down and take all that. I will leap up and over, run against the troop and go up and over every single hurdle. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He's a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? For it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Right. David fought with a natural sword. That was his testimony naturally. He had incredible strength and skill as a warrior. This is our sword. This is the sword Jesus fought with. We have the word of God. David's success came from the fact he trusted in God to give him the victory. Verse 30, he's a shield to all who trust in him. It's the same for us. David's success in battle came from his submission to the Lord. He always said, Lord, do I go, do I not? Do I do this? Do I not? He consulted the Lord every step. Do I do it? Don't I do it? What do I do? How do I do it? He submitted and the Lord gave him power. He gave him the advantage over the enemy. Same for us. James 4, verse 7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay. We're going to take just a few minutes to respond to this verse. You may have done it, you may have even done this morning. But you know what? No matter what's going on in your life, even if you're not experiencing the attack of the enemy right now, it's always a good idea to come back under the Lord, isn't it? So I just want you to close your eyes and say, Lord, I give you my life. Everything that makes me, me. I give you my body, my physical body. It belongs to you. I give you my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. I belong to you. You're my Lord and I'm your servant. You're my Father and I'm your child. Everything I am, everything I have, I give to you. Thank you. You take care of what belongs to you. Thank you, you provide for what belongs to you. Now, just in your own words, thank him. You have power over the enemy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the authority you've given us. Thank you for the power that we have in the spirit realm. Thank you, Lord. You can see it right now. And Lord, we believe you. We take you at your word. We thank you that we have power to resist every spirit, demonic attack in every area of our lives. Thank you. We're not lacking in power. We've got the power. We've got what it takes to rule over. Now, we're going to resist the enemy now. And you need to do this for you. We do it by faith. So in any area, whatever it is that you recognize the enemy's trying to take, or anything he's lying about, whether he's trying to steal health, steal peace, steal joy, whatever it is, I just want you to say, I resist you in the name of Jesus. You are not having my whatever, okay? So just speak it out by faith. Just remember, your words have power now in the spirit realm. We've just submitted to God. I resist you in Jesus' name. You are not having this. Just speak it out. Remember, he's a spirit being with ears. Command him. Tell him what he's going to do. Get out, get off, clear off in Jesus' name. Just say, I command you, let go and flee from me in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we believe it. We believe it. Right here in this upstairs room in Taunton, we believe the enemy has fled. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You made us the head and not the tail. Now, just quickly, we're going to finish with this. We need to use the word, just like Jesus did, okay? It is written. We need to declare it and use it like a sword to defeat the enemy. When the enemy lies, as he does to all of us, yes, we need to submit to God and resist the devil, but you need a sword. You need some promise that you can use to defeat him. So I would like you to get into twos and threes and share the promise that you have. Pray for one another and share the promise that you have so you can declare it over your circumstances. And if you don't have a promise, just pray. Tell them what you're standing in faith to see a victory in. And just pray together. And then maybe through the others in the group praying for you, you'll receive a promise for that situation. So is that clear? Into twos and threes. Share what you're believing victory for and your promise. Or pray and believe you're going to get a promise. So if we could just come back together again. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So every time, because the enemy, he is a liar, he will continue to lie. That's the way it is until he goes down, down, down to the very depths. He will continue to lie, especially to God's people. He's against all people, but particularly God's people. And so we need to use the weapons we've been given and stand against. Every time he lies, don't entertain it. Just don't. Be quick to take it captive. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. What does that mean? Just root it out. No, no, no. You're saying this. You're saying I'm going to lose this. You're saying I'm going to fail there. You're saying I'm going to be sick in that area. No, no, no. And raise the promise of God. God says, it is written, boom, take that devil and get out in Jesus' name. And you, as many times as the lie comes back, you hold up the promise. Because with that shield of faith, we distinguish every fiery dart. Okay, we need that shield up and the sword in our hands. Okay, let's give the Lord an applause, shall we? A great big round of applause. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. May the God of our salvation be exalted. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to give the Lord some high praise now, and I just want you to absolutely belt it out because he deserves it. He is the King of Kings. We're going to take the offering as we do that. The guys could just come around with the baskets. We'll give as we sing this final song of praise to our God, the name above every name, the High King of Heaven, and the one before one day every knee will bow.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.